Hey, I'll bring everybody in if that's okay.
That's great.
Okay, Chair, this was everyone who was in our waiting room.
Okay, thank you. We call this meeting of the UIL State Executive Committee to order at this time. We do have a quorum present, an agenda before us, and we will be abiding by the University Interscholastic League Constitution Contest rules. We're going to begin with hearing AA, which is our one hearing for this particular meeting. Corpus Christi Moody High School, consideration of penalties for violations of sections 50A3, student violations. Mr. Beasley.
On November 14th, 2023, a Corpus Christi Moody High School student athletes made inappropriate physical contact with the Laredo Nixon High School student athlete in a girls varsity tournament basketball game in McAllen.
All right. First thing we need to do is make sure that we've got audio on everyone and get you introduced so that we'll know who we're talking to. So I'm going to start on my screen, Sylvia Barrera.
Yes, sir. Sylvia Barrera, Laredo ISD Athletic Director, for the record.
Thank you. Next, I've got Enrique Vela.
Yes, sir. Enrique Vela, Principal 4-H Moody High School, and I also have Athletic Coordinator Michael Cantu in this office.
Okay. Which high school, please?
Moody High School.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And you got your coordinator there. All right. Very good. The next one is Elizabeth Vasquez. We're not hearing you.
Elizabeth Vasquez, assistant varsity basketball coach.
Who else?
I'm Shantae Hazel, and I play for Moody Basketball.
Say that again.
I'm Shantae Hazel. I play for Moody Basketball.
Okay.
I'm Aaliyah Hazel, and I play for Moody Basketball.
Okay.
Myra Nedios, head basketball coach.
Robert Casorena, JV coach.
All right. Is there somebody else behind you there?
Yes. Yes. Karen Hazel. I'm the parent of Aaliyah and Shantae.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Able to hear us.
We have Brenda Marshall.
Brenda Marshall, the athletic director for Corpus Christi ISD.
Thank you, ma'am. Leanne Mendoza.
Yeah, Mendoza, head girls basketball coach at Nixon High School.
Thank you. And we have someone unidentified on an iPhone sitting in a vehicle there in a cap. We're not able to hear you, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Hubert Hazel. I'm the father of Aaliyah Hazel and Shantae Hazel.
Thank you. Mr. Greenwood?
Yes, sir. Brandon Greenwood, special education advocate and educator.
Okay. Cassandra Mendoza?
Yes, good afternoon. Laredo Nixon, high school principal.
Oh, thank you. And we have someone on a phone. Ends in 211. They're no longer showing up. Okay. If they pop back on, we will get them taken care of. Yes, sir.
Also, I have, go ahead.
Stepmother to Aaliyah and Shantae Hazel, Brittany Dersham.
Okay, thank you. All right, at this time, what we need to do is to get everyone sworn in. So If you'll raise your right hand, please make sure you're unmuted. Raise your right hand, and Caroline's going to swear you in.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to introduce members of the committee that you're working with today. My name is Mike Motherwell. I'm a retired school superintendent. Dr. Nivens.
Good afternoon. I'm Roosevelt Nivens, superintendent of Lamar Consolidated ISD.
Dr. Kennedy.
Good afternoon. I'm Edna Kennedy, superintendent Burton ISD.
Dr. Spicer.
Tiffany Spicer, superintendent Buna ISD.
And Mr. Wade.
Darryl Wade, retired athletic administrator, Houston.
Thank you. Okay. We are here today basically for two purposes. Obviously, what happened on the court some days ago now, very serious, disturbing even. Egregious might be a good word to describe. And our role here today is to consider what's gone on as far as the penalties are concerned. And we're talking about students, individual students, but also, and that's under 50A3, which reads failure to comply with rules prohibiting interactions with officials, judges, or referees, or fighting with opponents. We're also here to talk about what's going on with the school, the member school. 27C is posted as well, and that's penalties for member schools, should there need to be any of those. With that having been said, you know, we've all had the opportunity to view numerous times the videos that have been made available to us. And what we saw is what everybody saw. I'm not going to go into a great detail because you've already looked at it many, many times. But what we did see, my apologies, I did not have my phone off. What we did see is several students that were involved in this issue, some probably more pronounced than what has been discussed. But we saw kids coming off the bench. We saw something going on underneath the basket. There were rebounds. There was an attempt to tie the ball up. There was the rebounder, number 21, was very aggressive with the ball in that circumstance. There was someone that came in, number 13, came in to break it up. And then it was seemed to be de-escalating. And then number 11 from Moody, not described as well from coaches' descriptions as I would want it to be, because number 11 was the one that actually, I think, really poured some gasoline on the fire here, because she intentionally bumped some of the girls from Nixon, very plain. And then that's when things started. We also recognize that there have been consequences handed out, both to individuals and to the team. We've seen several girls, a couple of girls get two game suspensions. That's number 11, number one. And I can be corrected on these as you move forward. Numbers 20 and 21 got three game suspension. And canceled out of that tournament, canceled the next two ball games, canceled the December 28th and 29th tournament. That seems to be where we are is in the terms of what has transpired as far as consequences. We want to check that for accuracy. So I don't know, Brenda, whether you need to be the one to talk through that or you want some of the folks there at some of your coaching staff to talk through those particular consequences or not.
I can talk about that, or they may also, you know, chime in. Are you talking about of the information that
that I just stated,
Prince Girl?
The consequences that have occurred, and just confirm with me, y'all canceled the games that I mentioned. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, they canceled the last two games of the tournament they were going to play in. They came on home, canceled. We had said that there was going to be a meeting on Monday, that November 20th. The games on November 20th and 21st were also canceled until we could see what exactly happened, because, you know, we were just then getting all the videos and the information and statements from everybody. Then as we found out the video who did what, and so then we went to the individuals, like you just mentioned, of which part they had in it, and we tried to assess penalties based on what they did do or who came off the bench. Like you say, you had to watch it many times to find out exactly what each person was doing. And we also asked the coaches and teams they got to revisit all the protocols and the information that we've received from UIL. I know UIL has sent out several things because of sportsmanship this year, or because of last year, you know, they had so many ejections. And so we start in July talking to our coaches or saying things with our UIL meeting. And so there was information that was given to them, and that was questions that we asked at our meeting on that Monday. Had they practiced, say, the plan of, you know, if something happens, somebody comes off the bench. And so that was where we're at with all the discussion of what was going on of step by step in that video.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I want to ask, and I'll ask this of you again, Marshall, or of your coaches. You know, you mentioned the training that's required and all the things that go out from UIL that discuss proper protocol and what's to happen and keeping your kids on your bench and all those kinds of things. Let's just talk to the coaching staff there a minute. In this particular situation, when you take a look at the responses that came from both benches, it looks like Nixon did a pretty good job keeping their kids on the on their bench. Maybe not perfect, I don't know, but as opposed to what happened with your kiddos. Head girls coach, would you respond to that, please?
Yes, sir. Well, it happened closer to our bench, and it happened in such a quick, so fast that it was within 6 seconds. And we have spoke to the girls about not getting off the bench. I don't know really what happened there, why they left the bench. And
well, really it escalated. So she went for the rebound, and when she came down there was a little, they kind of got into it.
We've seen all that, Coach.
Okay,
we understand that piece, okay?
Okay.
And I've walked through a portion of that. We recognize what went on. I'm asking about your girls getting off the bench is what I'm asking about.
Sir, I think, sir, when it started happening, me and my assistant coach both started walking towards the scuffle in the middle. And I, prior to that, I was expecting a tech or something to be called. That's why I didn't immediately go onto the floor. Because I said, well, they're going to, the refs will call a tech. So as we started walking, they came off, you know, we both had our backs turned. Yeah. And we know one coach used to stay on the bench and watch the bench, but we both ran out at the same time instead of somebody sitting there.
Mr. Motherall, I'd like to ask a question along those lines. You know, per the information that we sent out from UIL to all member schools about bench protocol, there was supposed to be a coach that was responsible for the bench by plan. Who was the coach assigned to secure the bench area in case of an altercation on the floor?
My assistant coach.
And so, like you said on the video, no one seemed to secure the bench. And so,
We had three coaches with us, and at this tournament, they asked the coaches to work the official book and clock. So one of my coaches was at the clock, and when it, like I said, sir, it happened in 6 seconds. So my assistant coach, I guess, out of a reaction, she ran. When they ran, she followed. So I went back to secure the bench, but by that time it was too late.
Yeah. Just in closing, and then I'll let us move on, is that I think that's why it's important that these protocols are practiced repeatedly. So it's not a reaction. It's a practiced action that then occurs due to the training that we've had.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Here's a paper. Okay. I want to, and we're going to get back to you folks in a little bit, but I want to see what the folks from Nixon have to say at this time. You know, we've talked through, y'all seen the videos, y'all know what's going on. Just your reaction. Who's the head coach? Is that that's Mendoza, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Coach Mendoza. Your reaction to and how are you? How did you keep your kids on the bench?
Sir, we go over, like, as far as training with our kids. We started, of course, in our preseason meeting with our parents and our kids all present. Our athletic department has given us the resource with our two-word character curriculum that we do weekly with our kids, and we emphasize the importance of being responsive and not reacting. And so we go over all of these things weekly with our kids and talk about if there ever is a scuffle or some type of altercation on the court, we always make sure that we tell our kids that they are not to leave the bench. And then we also have our coaches meetings where our coaches have duties and they know their jobs and their roles if there is something that is to happen and we have somebody on the bench. And I believe that if you watch the films, you will see our girls on the bench. If you watch them in slow-mo, they literally have their hands out, making sure that nobody leaves the bench and our coach is over there with them.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We've got a lot of folks here today, and I'm sure each of you have a role in this and want to be part of the circumstances and making sure that we're thorough. And that's exactly what we want to do, is be thorough. But our role today, more than anything else, is to discuss penalties and consequences for individual students and for, as I described earlier, for the team, if there's a need for anything. And we're talking about Moody High School. And I'll say this, from my viewpoint, the canceling out of the tournament was a good move. Cancel the next two games, that was a good move. Cancel the 28th and 29th, that's tough on the team, but that's good. So you're to be commended for doing those things as a team. Individually, I think, you know, I'm not going to get into my thoughts, and maybe some of the others want to hear shortly, about what's appropriate number of games for some of these who were involved to some extent. Like number 11 I mentioned earlier, got a two-game suspension. In my book, she was one of the real reasons this game got out of control for bowing up, if you will, in that circumstance. Whether two games is accurate or not, I don't know. But those kinds of things that did not, where that particular individual didn't swing, didn't run after anybody, anything like that, that's not what I'm about today personally. My issues are with the two girls who, one of them was the one that got the rebound, I think, and the other one came off the bench, numbers 20 and 21. I didn't get any names, hadn't had any names, and that's okay. And I'm assuming they're sisters. I did not really know that I knew that, but, from what's been said, the consequences there, a 3-game suspension, I would just say this very much up front, is inadequate. Okay. And I say that because of the danger that was involved in that, and the vicious nature of what we saw and what the future holds with basketball games with those particular students involved. Mr. Wade, you had something?
Yeah, I'd asked Ms. Marshall a question real quick, kind of on that same level. I know that they did not play the final two games of the tournament. When did you find out about the incident, and who actually made the decision for them to come home?
I was on November 17th, which was a Friday. I was at Edinburgh Vela with our Miller High School football team. And I was in the car waiting for, the gates to open. And I received, I had received a call from Michael Cantu probably about that evening. I didn't look at my watch that time. And then probably about an hour and a half later, I received a phone call from Myra Nerios. And she was taking me through every step that happened. And she had mentioned to me that, if I'm correct, that Myra, Coach Nerios, was the one that decided that they would leave the tournament.
Coach Nerios, and who is that?
Coach Nerios is the head girls basketball coach at Moody.
Okay. Last question, and I'm sure we'll get to this later, but what number was the young lady that was actually chasing young other young lady off the court? What number was that?
You had two of them, number 20 and number 21. Okay. The two sisters.
Thank you.
All right. We have other comments or questions from committee members at this time. We'll continue to discuss this. Okay. All right. You've heard what I had to say about the consequences for numbers 20 and 21. Coach, Moody coach.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Your discussion on the consequences, please. And who provided the consequences? Who established those?
Well, it was 3 games pending the police report. So,
okay.
So in our handbook, it says that it was an assault, I think, with a bodily injury, a class A, that they would have to go to the alternative school. Mm-hmm. So we knew that it wasn't only going to be 3 games. So one of the sisters has already been placed at the alternative school, and the other sister's waiting for her meeting. So it was not only going to be 3 games, it's more than 3 games. And then on top of that, there's the criminal part of it as well that they've been going through too. And I know that's separate, but.
Yes, ma'am. Who made the decision then for 3 games though?
We all did
together, I guess, when we met on Monday. On that Monday, the 20th.
Mighty good. Mighty good. All right. We have some other folks here that may want to talk.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I have a question. That's okay. So, Coach at Moody, in school administration, there is a administrative side and a legal side. And so administratively, you guys believe that I'm having a difficult time getting my words out with this one. You guys believe that such a large disruption that creates an extreme unsafe environment for kids, that parents send them to us to keep safe. You guys believe that disruption only warranted, it was acceptable just to have a 2 or 3 game suspension on the administrative side, minus the legal side. Legally, they do what they do, right? The police do what they do. Because you're not bound to what the authorities say as far as misdemeanors and all those things. You're not bound to those things. You can do what you feel necessary. So my question is, such a massive disruption, in your opinion, Coach, a 2 or 3 game suspension is adequate?
Well, sir, I didn't think it was just 3 games, considering all the games that have been canceled. It was going to come out to about 11 to 12 games. Plus, when they had to go to the alternative school, it was going to be extra games, depending on how much time they have. They may not see the court at all if they go for, you know, I don't know how much time they're going to get there, 30 days, 15 days. As long as they're pending removal, they're not allowed to play in any games or do anything with the team. So we knew it was going to be more than 3 games.
I understand that. So it sounds like you made your decision based off what you believe others are going to do. What I'm asking is, in your opinion, what you decided to do was appropriate, regardless of what anybody else was going to do?
No, I think 3 games is lenient. Yes, sir. I don't think 3 games is, I think that's lenient. But that's not, again, sir, I didn't think it was just going to be 3 games.
Okay.
I knew that there was going to be more.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Can I ask a question, sir?
Mr. Wade and then Dr. Spicer.
Thank you. 11-1 received 2 games. What, Coach, why didn't you just suspend them all 3 games, knowing it may be more? Why didn't you do all of them the same amount?
Because I didn't think 11-1 would go to the alternative school. I wasn't told that they were going to have charges pressed against them.
Did number 1 come off the bench?
Yes,
sir. And contact the kid?
I don't know if she contacted. I'm not sure if she contacted or not. I know she ran out on the court.
I know I'm looking at a video, but I was kind of under the assumption she did contact someone. I was just kind of wondering why she only received 2 and the others received 3. And she left the bench, which, according to you all, the other rule and the UIL's rules not to leave the bench. That's all I was wondering.
Well, yeah.
Yes, sir. That's similar to the question I had. So I was looking and it says 1 left the bench as well as 20. But I think the conversation I'm hearing is just looking at 20 and 21. But 1 also left the bench and pushed another player and was ejected. And so it looks like there's just some discrepancies based on what I'm reading. And I just,
yeah,
it's not clear to me.
And I also, Dr. Harrison, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I can, I'd like to ask Ms. Marshall this question. Because I may be lost. I've had so many conversations on this topic. Was it just 2 games or 3 games, whatever it was, for each individual kid? Or was the team also removed from additional games, more than just the rest of that tournament? Were there some games canceled where the entire team?
Yeah, we've already.
Yes, sir. There was, besides the 2 games that was mentioned from the tournament, the games that they had scheduled on November 20th and 21st, everybody, the whole team was, we canceled those. And then there's a tournament, Christmas holidays, which is December 28th, 29th. The whole team will not go to what's called the West Oso tournament. And those, that was for the whole, those were for the whole teams, whole team.
So then the 1 game, 2 games, 3 games, you know, depending on which kid we're talking about, that's on top of this, correct? What you, yes, just on top of what the whole team got?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had it clear and make sure it was clear for the committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You bet. Okay. Hello?
Laredo Nixon, I'm principal. I have a question for the coach from Moody.
No, hang on. You are
Ms. Mendoza, principal Laredo Nixon.
So you're going to have to, we've got a little technical difficulty with you and you're speaking a little too quickly. So slow down for me and say that again, please.
Laredo Nixon, Mrs. Mendoza, principal.
Okay. You're not to ask questions of others here. That's not the deal. Okay. Now, if you have a question for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many varsity players were on that Moody team that day?
Oh, yeah, that's unimportant right now. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. I want to listen to, we had a Mr. Greenwood here.
Yes, sir.
And very succinctly, you are an advocate. And special ed advocate, I believe, is what I heard you say.
Mm-hmm.
And you're obviously here for a reason. So let's get to that and let's be succinct about it, please, sir.
Well, more than anything, I just wanted to go through this process with the family. I was reached out to a couple of days ago. Of course, everybody's heard about this, probably in the whole state of Texas. And I just wanted to convey as an educator, the importance of looking at this on a broad spectrum and not just, I hear what we're saying about safety, this, that, and the other, but I also wanted to take into consideration the state in which these students may be in as far as they go, as far as special education, 504 plans, these kids having some sort of possible, you see where I'm going with that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We appreciate that. And, you know, I think the thing that I would respond with is you talk about it being a broad spectrum that we need to look through. Sure. And I will say this, the reason that we're here today and the reason that I'm so emphatic about what I've seen is because broadly speaking, as these girls or others who might be watching what did go on, are involved, we see these two girls, if they're back out on the court, there's nothing in me based on what I saw that day that from the videos that makes me think that that wouldn't happen again. And that's about safety and that's broad. And that's why we're here today.
I hear you. And I can agree with you and I can appreciate that having two sons of my own, I wouldn't want them to be attacked or otherwise. But I think there were some other things that led up to this. I think there were some things and there were some very derogatory racial slurs being, you guys didn't hear that. I didn't either, but, you know, from both sides that I've tried to, the people that I've spoken with, there were some things that were going on that not only should these girls be held accountable, but the officials who were actually officiating the game.
Understand something though, sir, and I appreciate your conversation, really, and I know the whole committee does, and we are all educators, all of us.
Sure, I know.
And we want what's best for kids. We don't need to make sure. We need to make sure that people aren't subjected to anything they shouldn't be subjected to.
Right.
But
right.
From what we've seen today, and all the conversations that we've had thus far, and any reports that we've received. Nothing along those lines has come out of it. What we're looking at is that video and what did happen and what led up to it. The rebound, and it was a very hard rebound that came down. And there was a girl that grabbed and tried to get to tie up, which is normal. And there was some reaction immediately on that. And then number 11 coming in and doing what she did. The whole thing developed very quickly, as has been discussed many times.
Right.
But we're here to make sure that consequences are appropriate. That's why we're here.
I understand.
So for me, the one thing that I'm saying to you today, all the other things aside, I don't know that I have a lot of control over how many other games they miss. We had already talked about the fact that we knew they were missing games as a team. Yes, we know that. There were additional games given to the others. But my point is very simple. The girls that were involved coming off the bench and the two that were chasing, and it got physical, those are the ones that are dangerous.
I understand. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. From committee members, anything at this point? All right. I want to go back, Ms. Marshall and the staff from Moody. Anything y'all want to say?
I'm good right now if the coaches would like to say anything.
Okay, thank you. Coaches, y'all got anything to say?
I know when you look at the video, it is bad. And I agree with that. But being there, I do want to say that when the referee blew the whistle, I was waiting for the call. And nothing came out of her mouth. She was standing right there. And it just was like, is she going to say something? Is she going to say something? No, she's not saying nothing. The other referee was at half court at this time. And it just, I'm waiting. I'm thinking she's going to say, and it just unraveled. And because the referees were so passive, that game got really out of control really fast. And I also want to say that when, I know it looks bad, but if you were there, then you would understand that when when they ran out on the court and she took off after her, I was running right after her. So I can see, number 20 takes off running and her number 21 comes running like after her. So I'm running. And when I'm running over there, I see a man, maybe 35, a grown man grabs number 20, picks her up and body slams her on the table like he's fighting a grown man. So at this point, I'm like trying to, like, this grown man is attacking her. Well, her sister is right behind me and sees the entire incident. So now she's enraged. You know, she just saw a grown man just pick up her sister and body slam her on the table like that. So I'm at this point in time, I'm looking around. There's no officers. There's nobody And I'm in fight
or flight mode. I'm going to stop you right there. Okay. We understand that it was all in your written report. We've talked through it. The issue is they were there and they ran off after this young lady. That's the issue.
Yes, it is. But it got physical, sir, it wouldn't have gotten out of control the way it looked if they would have controlled it. And when you see an adult male attack a girl.
Coach, that's enough.
Yeah.
Okay. You've talked enough about the officials and all the other things that are going on.
It led up to it. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Wade.
The young lady, I believe that came off the bench is the kind of got it going out of hand. You know, we're saying the officials and the police officers, but it's the bench and it's the players on the court that created this. It's basketball. Some of those things happen. I do agree with some of the things you're saying, but the young ladies chasing and coming off the bench, that caused the ruckus.
It did.
Can I ask a question? This is Mr. Cepeda.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to Mr. Greenwood very closely, and it was mentioned about some derogatory things that were being said during the contest that might have provoked all of this and initiated it. I know that focus, rightly so, is on the action of what occurred that we can see. But I'd like to ask the coach, you know, did you, as your student athletes are explaining to you what is being said on the court, did you ever address that directly with the officials, the game officials, during the contest? Did you ever elicit any concerns about language being utilized during the game? That question is for the head coach from Moody.
No, sir. My girls told me after the fact. I didn't address it with the officials.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I'd like to hear Dr. Braddock. I'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I had originally thought that the folks at Moody had
taken quick action and had their team return from the tournament, and then they suspended the team from playing in the next couple of games. But after listening to the coaches today, I don't think they get it. I don't think they're accepting the responsibility that they had that day. I would agree with them. Things happen fast sometimes. This occurred, and I don't care what was said. I don't care who was elbowed or who was scraped or illegally blocked, and I don't care what the officials did or didn't call up to this point. But to have an athlete run for her life to get off the court, and well off the court, I've not ever seen that in my time here at UIL. I've seen a billion basketball games in my life. I've not seen that happen in a high school girls basketball game. And it should not ever happen again. And if we don't send a strong message today, I think we lose an educational moment. All this business about there was not a police presence and the officials let the game get out of hand, That doesn't cause this kind of action to occur, for somebody to come off the bench and chase someone across the court and off the court where there are little kids playing around. I think that's egregious. You said it early, Mr. Chair. We just cannot have that. While I applaud Ms. Marshall and Dr. Hernandez, the superintendent, I know they are trying to do things the right way here, and there is some waiting on some police work. But in the meantime, I don't think the coaches understand the gravity of this situation. This, to me, constitutes some extensive penalties for at least these two students.
Thanks, sir. No, not now. We're all right. I want to listen to, over here, we've got Mr. Vela. I don't think you've spoken yet.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I think I know as part of the directive that I received, I do want to extend a formal apology to the Laredo Nixon community and coaches and parents and everybody involved. I know that unfortunately some issues did transpire that day, and we're trying to take the action here at the campus level as well as in collaboration with our athletic office and central leadership. But, and we'll work with our coaching staff. We've already put, some action steps in place, met with not just basketball, but every other sport coming down the pipeline to try to avoid anything like this from ever happening again. So my part in this is just making sure that we continue to move forward, but working with my kids, my families, my communities, my coaching staff, and working to not have an incident like this ever happen again. But once again, Laredo, I know you're here. My apologies, everybody. Okay, and like I said, a reflection on all of us, but we're learning and we're growing from this. And I just want to say thank you to everybody here.
Thanks, sir. All right. Anyone else that has not spoken?
I have a question.
Yeah, you are who?
The stepmother of Aaliyah and Shantae Hazel. Is it okay if I speak?
Well, it's not. Y'all are not to ask questions, but let me do this for you here. Do you have anything to say?
Sure. Yes. I'm curious as to the amount of evidence that you reviewed and the multiple clips. Were they slowed down? Because while we take full accountability, it never should have escalated to that extent. And we don't excuse their actions. But there were things, not just racial slurs, but, y'all consider it a rough rebound. My daughter was punched and elbowed. She received a black eye from it. And it did have to be slowed down multiple times to even be able to see that. It was very fast. But that is what initiated the altercation. Her older sister saw her younger sister be assaulted. The refs did nothing. It kept escalating. And again, I'm not excusing her behavior, but this attempt to villainize them and make them seem like they just came out and attacked the other team for no reason is absurd to us. They didn't just go down there as thugs with motives to assault them.
I don't think anybody's used that word, that term, thug. And I will say this, for me, maybe it was somebody snapped and it was a reaction, but it was a reaction and it was severe and it was egregious. And there's consequences that come with that. And answering your question as to the, yes, I watched it nearly frame by frame. Okay. So I think all these folks have taken the time that they need to watch the things very closely. Basketball is a contact sport. I don't care what anybody says, it is. But things got out of hand.
Right. But to be assaulted and then called the N-word, I mean, there's, you know, it was a perfect storm.
I did not
storm.
See an assault. I did not see an assault.
Well, then it wasn't slowed down enough because that was the first initial.
It was
initial.
Basketball. It was basketball.
After the whistle was flown,
physical
it was
basketball
punched.
Game.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
That's ridiculous.
I just, may I comment?
Yes, ma'am.
Principal.
Yes.
Mr. Vella, once again, Ms. Mendoza from Nixon, and thank you for that. I understand as a principal a tough time you're going through, but I do thank you for your apology. Coaches also from Moody, we understand being a head coach is a tough position. We understand that. I do want to thank the committee as well. First and foremost, as you are saying, safety for all is first and foremost, especially in the time we're living in right now. It's hard enough in our schools. These are extracurricular activities that we're thinking these kids are going to go out and be safe. So we want them to be safe wherever they go and travel and play. My hope today as the Laredo Nixon principal is that the committee sets precedents for the future, not only for our athletes, but for our coaches as well.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Greenwood, you seem like you need to say something again. This is your last chance and it's going to be brief.
Very brief, sir. I just want to make sure the committee is not thinking that I was trying to excuse the actions at all. I am not.
Okay.
But I do want us to consider mental health, 504 plans. Things need to be done to set a precedent that has been said. As educators, I know all of you educators, and I know you all have the best interests of all students at heart.
Okay.
Let's just remember, There may be some extenuating circumstances for certain people that are involved in this. That's all.
That. But we have to recognize that if those extenuating circumstances are in place right now, future games, they may still be there. And it's about safety in the future. Okay.
I think as the public school, we owe it to the students to give them the, you know, some support that they may need so we can ensure that it won't happen.
Not I have them, no doubt that may. I have no doubt that Moody will do a great job of supporting these kiddos. I don't have any doubt of that. I know their program.
I believe they will too. I know both the principal and the AD at the campus, and they do a wonderful job. So I believe that as well.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
If I may, I just want to make sure we distinguish free and appropriate public education and least restrictive environment and all those things. I just want to make sure that we all understand that. And I hear what Mr. Greenwood is saying, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm an old coach, an old high school principal, and now, you know, I didn't just walk out being a superintendent. I'm an old teacher also in South Dallas and in South Oak Cliff. And we all understand that as adults, parents send their kids to us to make sure we take care of their kids. And if the adults don't do what they're supposed to do, then we can expect kids to do what they do. And I just want to back up on that. I really don't have the right filter to say what I want to say right now, so I'll just leave it at that. But we really have to make sure the adults have the gumption to do what they need to do to make sure our students follow the appropriate protocol.
All right.
I'll leave it at that.
Thanks, sir. I have not asked the question of the age of the sisters. What grade are they in?
A freshman and junior.
Freshman and a junior. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I sort of put this all in context. And you've been on this committee for a long time. And I do incident reports. I get every event that happens. We have millions of games. And we only get something like this maybe five times out of the year out of millions of games. And I think most of our coaches are doing a good job. But one thing that's really stands out to me addressing these is the bench. I think that it was going to de-escalate even after the elbow or the aggressive rebound. Then it was going to de-escalate even after the bump from 11. But the two kids coming off the bench escalates. And that's what happens with our fights that I see from my point of view that I deal with all the time. It's controlling that bench. Just like in this situation, I had a football game where somehow the coaches on the sideline, they went over it just like Laredo Nixon. The coaches ran out to the numbers. They turned around and said, "Don't you move." But on the other side, they didn't do that. So it was just kind of, if you can control kids coming off the bench and let the officials get control of it, we're better off and we wouldn't have situations like this.
Thank you. Well stated. All right. I think we're at about a time of making some decisions. I'm going to turn back to Ms. Marshall one more time to see if there's any additional things she'd like to say.
Just like Mr. Vela, we sincerely apologize for these actions for the state of Texas, UIL, and also to Laredo Nixon. And it's not something that we take lightly, and we definitely, this is not what we teach our students in CCISD. And so I could definitely say there's been a lot of things we've talked about afterwards something that happened the week before in the girls' basketball season. And actually we were in the middle of talking and expressing to our high school ACs, middle school ACs of things that you can't do in that. And we're just sincerely apologetic for this whole situation.
Thank you. Yeah. Coach Vasquez or whoever.
We have the mom wants to say something.
Mom, what would you like to say?
Yes, I would. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I would just like to speak on my daughter's behalf in regards to this. You're making mentions of ensuring that it's not going to happen again, things of that nature, and it being a danger. This was one isolated event that occurred between these girls. This is not a reoccurring thing. This is not something that they are continuously doing, and behavior is continuously a problem. This is one isolated event that took place and that happened.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it. And Dad, we'd give you any last word as well.
My girls are not bad girls. I just want the public to know that.
I don't think anybody's here saying they're bad. They made some bad decisions.
They've never been ejected from the game. They have A's and B's in school. They're not trouble.
Thank you, Dad. Appreciate it. I think I've left someone out. I don't know whether she has something to say, Ms. Barrera. I don't know what your... I don't remember. It's been a while now. What you said your relationship was to this.
Yes, sir. I'm the athletic director for Laredo Independent School District.
Okay.
And I would just like to thank the UIL for the outreach and the continuous communication regarding this incident and the support that we have received. Again, you know, regarding this incident, it is unfortunate. You know, we understand, like you stated, basketball is a contact sport. But, you know, we definitely work very diligently here with the district to ensure that we prepare our student athletes and our coaches to respond rather than react to situations. And it's tough work, but it's things that you do outside the lines to have these continuous discussions so that student athletes make better decisions, especially in situations like this. But again, thank you again for the support.
And I would say this, there's been accusations made about racial slurs, those kinds of things about your kids. Y'all make sure that Coach Mendoza and Ms. Barrera, y'all pay attention to that. Those are accusations. All we know is that it was a game and that this broke out. But make sure you take that message back to your kiddos and continue to talk to them about how to deal with other people. Whether it happened or not, don't know. But you need to talk about it. Yes, Dr. Bryant.
Yeah, I was going to mention that very thing. There's no place in any of our activities for racial slurs or bad language toward another team. Certainly not anything that we would tolerate. And I appreciate you asking the athletic director from Laredo to address that. So just make sure that Mr. Greenwood understands that. We understand the mental health of both sides, and we want to make sure that both teams are acting appropriately after this has occurred. Now, make sure we follow up and deal with that appropriately.
Thank you.
Okay. It's, I think, time for us to make some decisions on what we're going to do here. And, you know, as we talk about the girls themselves, for me, the consequences need to fall on the girls that chased the girl down. That's the big issue coming off the bench. And I don't know, I'd like a little feedback from committee members, because we've got number one that came off the bench, and then number 20 or 21, whichever one it was, 20, I believe. And then we had the chasing by 20 and 21 that went on, to me, the most egregious part of things. And of course, grabbing by hair and all the things that did take place, the assault aspect of it. And to me, those are apart from everybody else. But I don't know, Mr. Wade, you've got something to say.
I'd like to ask Ms. Marshall a question really quick. I know different districts have different protocols. Were you able to have any input on the punishments at all, or is it just school-based?
No, when we had the meeting on November 20th, previous to that meeting, I had discussed with Dr. Hernandez, our superintendent, of what is happening, and he understood all the details. And then I, along with the coaches that you see in that room, we met. The one person that's missing in that room is an assistant principal, and we met on that Monday, and we all talked about consequences. I shared everything from that meeting with our superintendent so that he knew what was going on, and he and I was very involved in the writing of, well, actually, the letter came from me, so we all were very involved and knew what was said.
Thank you.
I would like to hear thoughts on consequences. And I'm going to give you mine and then let y'all kind of marinate on those a little bit and see what you might think. But without a doubt, the two girls that were most involved in the chase down and all do not need to be playing basketball this year for sure at all. And I don't know how long that lasts. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's this year, next year. I don't know. But for me, I'm very strong in that area. And I will say this, we also have to deal with the high school itself through 27C. And for me, they're going to need some time of probation in the girls' basketball program, without a doubt. You know, there are others we could get very we could get too much involved by trying to pick out others who were involved in this and creating some more circumstances for them, consequences. For me, those two stand out. Dr. Nivens, talk to us.
Yes, sir. I also believe that adults are the main protector of kids. I would like to also see, I'm a Dr. Bright up. I don't think that our coaches really understand their true responsibility. I would like to see the coaching staff have to go through some kind of additional training or something that lets us know, that they are going to make sure their students have all the appropriate protocol and procedures in place, and that the coaches will accept responsibility for their kids and not blame everyone else. I would like to see that happen. All right. I don't know what that looks like, but I would love to see that happen.
Okay. Dr. Harrison?
Mr. Chair, just to share some history with the committee. Well, frankly, I don't know that we've had a case that is terribly similar to this one, at least in my time here. And I'm, you know, just almost 13 years here. We have had some other fighting cases, kids coming off the bench and fighting, throwing punches. And the cases that come to mind that are at least most similar to this case, those students were suspended for the remainder of the season. You know, the issue with precedence manual is that is when you have two cases that are pretty identical, they should have, you know, pretty identical results. We don't have one that's pretty identical to this, but the two that are most similar that come to my mind, saw students, the two you mentioned, for example, suspended for the remainder of the year. And I would like to say, I want to compliment Brenda Marshall and Dr. Hernandez. While they got there through a little different path than maybe this committee is going to get there, they ultimately got there, right? I mean, shorter term suspensions earlier that ultimately led to longer term suspensions. Really difficult situation. Appreciate their central leadership. And, you know, this has been talked a lot, so I won't add too much other than to say I agree that it's a little disappointing that you know, the coaches, they probably do need some training. Dr. Nivens, I agree with you. I don't know that we have a particular training to prescribe, but the committee could consider requiring some training that is worked out between UIL staff and leadership at Corpus Christi ISD.
Okay. Yes, sir. Dr. Spicer?
One of the things I agree with everybody, if we're talking about specifics when we get to the young ladies who left the bench, I just want to make sure we're consistent because there were two. And I think I only see two young ladies in the room at this time, which are the sisters, but I know there was another one. And whatever we do, I want to be consistent. And to everybody's point, as a Black woman, yes, I understand racial slurs. I've been in different situations and circumstances, so I get it. And I've played sports, so it's still, we have a high expectation to make sure that we hold ourselves to the standard that our school and our parents and our families and our community hold us to. So when you're playing sports, you're not just playing for you. You're playing for your community, for your family. It's always bigger than you. So to the young ladies and to the coaches, just know that, yes, we have some decisions to make today, but yes, it's not about you. It's always bigger. So this goes on, just like somebody said, the video's out there. We do understand that. And because it is, we have to make some hard decisions, but we have to think about the good of all of our kiddos that we serve on a daily basis.
Thank you. Dr. Kennedy?
I'm absolutely in agreement with what you said, Mr. Chair, about the suspensions being much longer than what were originally proposed. You know, I kind of made some notes thinking for sure the rest of this season, as you said, does that need to go into next year? You know, that's kind of a committee decision. But as to speak to what Dr. Spicer said, you know, Our kids have a responsibility to not only themselves, but their team and their school and their community. And they're a representation of that. And I know everyone on this feed understands that, but it's just very important that we address these situations and we do it in a consistent way that's consistent and fair for all of not only these people, but moving forward. Because as Dr. Harrison had said, you know, every case is usually a little different and there's not really a lot to compare this one to. Again, speaking to what Dr. Niven said about the adults being accountable, that is huge for me too, and the coaching staff taking responsibility for their part in this and having your designated people being, you've got your bench person, you've got your person that interacts with the kiddos, and hopefully alleviate any of these kinds of things happening in the future. And if we need to put together something like Dr. Harrison said in the form of a training, then that's what we need to do as part of a UIL committee. So I'm definitely in agreement as far as moving forward with something more strict, more appropriate for consequences.
Thank you. Wade?
Yes, I also agree with the statements that you made, also with the entire, committee statements that have been made, especially Dr. Spicer. Her statements are very important for our young ladies to hear. But also, you know, I guess I'm more concerned with the coaches as well. Not only, you know, that I don't know, as I guess I always said, they don't get it. But if, I think if we're going to do some heavier suspensions, we need to look at possibly doing some suspension or some games for the coaches as well.
Okay, I don't think the way we're posted today, I don't think we have the opportunity to do that. So we're going to have to do that in terms of training with them, because we're talking 27 C's our post, and that's for the that's not for individual coaches. That's for member schools. But we can we'll definitely do some things that coaches will need to take care of. I'm going to offer a proposed motion that some of you will want to amend in some form or fashion, but we got to get this thing taken care of. And I think for me, and especially now listening to what I heard talking about, I think Dr. Spicer was talking about, number one came off the bench as well. And that's a very important aspect of this thing that we need to consider. So my proposed motion would be to suspend for the remainder of the. Now, let me ask this question before we move forward. Are we talking about just basketball season, or are we talking about other areas? When we talk about our precedents, I'm trying to remember back. It was for the remainder of the school year, if I remember correctly. Dr. Harrison?
I believe it was. The case that I remember the most in the most detail was only a basketball player. It was, I really believe it was for the remainder of the school year for all athletics. Just that student didn't participate.
Yeah. So for me, numbers 1, 20, and 21 do not need to participate in extracurricular activities for the remainder of this school year. That's my thinking. And I think that there's a public reprimand and 2 years probation needs to be dealt to Moody High School girls basketball program. And also a requirement that Ms. Marshall and Mr. Zepeda get their heads together and prepare some training for the coaches in some form or fashion. And Mr. Spada,
yes, sir. We just released some additional training and information for all schools on Monday of this week to help with this type of situation. And I think that any training could involve the extension of what we already released to all member schools, and that we can work with Ms. Marshall very closely to figure out what that might look like and try to construct something that would be positive and educational here.
Thank you. That's a recommendation.
If I could ask for a clarification, Mr. Chair, again, going through other cases that we've had in the past, we have had students who left the bench who got multiple games. We have had students who left the bench and engaged in the physical altercation who got even more multiple games. And we've had students who left the bench and were just full-scale fighting, right, who've got extensive. So we have two of those. Final category, I know. Is the third one in that category as well? Was that student fully engaged in fighting?
No, but she did come off the bench and she did – shove somebody, I believe, was the appropriate term to be used initially when she came off the bench. Now, I can live with, and it's probably a good discussion to have, maybe doing something a little bit less on the number of games for her, maybe the first half of the district or something along those lines. But that's as far as I'm willing to go.
Yes, sir. I was just asking for clarification and going through, you know, prior cases.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think that'd be a good discussion for the committee to have.
Yeah. All right. Based on what we've just talked about, we need a formal proposal. Excuse me. Motion. We need a formal motion. Dr. Nevins, go ahead. Mr. Way?
I think we'll keep your proposal and adding on that last portion there so I can hear it again.
You're cutting out on us a little bit.
I said, could you say your proposal again so I could hear it, and then adding on, you know, that last portion there we just mentioned.
Okay. The initial discussion was that numbers 120 and 21 would be through with extracurricular activities for the remainder of this school year. The caveat to that would be, is number one deserving as much as numbers 20 and 21? If not, we could alter that to some extent, maybe just the remainder of the basketball season or and not the rest of the school year, or just a certain number of games. But also, we're talking about a two-year probation public reprimand for the girls' high school basketball program at Moody, and also the training that Dr. Zepeda and Ms. Marshall are going to put together.
Thank you.
Did that help you?
Yes.
Okay. Do I hear a... Let's get the discussion of number one. Do we place her in the same situation as numbers 20 and 21? That's the big question left for me. Dr. Spicer, Dr. Nivens?
I will be comfortable with a season suspension.
Basketball season?
Yes, sir. Basketball season.
Dr. Spicer?
I think I'm the same. I'm just reading over it one more time. So I agree with you, Dr. Nivens.
Okay. All right, then I'm going to make that motion, all right, to get this thing going. We're talking about number one, suspended from basketball for the remainder of this school year. Numbers 20 and 21, all extracurricular activities for remainder of the school year. We are talking about two-year probation and public reprimand for the girls' high school basketball program at Moody High School. We're talking about the training component that we discussed, and I think that's where I am at this point.
I would like to second that motion.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. Second by Mr. Wade. Any comments at this point? All in favor, please raise your right hand. It's unanimous. I think the closing remarks I would have would be very simple. Ms. Marshall, thank you. I know you've worked hard on this. Dr. Hernandez has worked hard on this. We appreciate what you've done. We appreciate your principal and his words earlier and the apology. Coaches, I will just say this, of this whole situation, I think there needs to be some reflection on the comments that were made today and taking ownership about what happened. We wish y'all nothing but the very best for the future. And I think that will end this hearing at this time. Does anybody else need to say anything? Dr. Bridep, anything you want to say?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank y'all. All right. Let's see here. We're going to remove those non-members at this time. Is there any new business?
Mr. Chair, there is no new business. And we probably will have some more cases before the end of this month. That with so many basketball games or things that just happened, but we don't plan on adding on to any more agenda items. If Caroline's listening to me, we have a hearing on Friday, and hopefully we won't have any between Friday and the end of the 2023 school year. Thank you all for watching the video and reading all of the reports and getting the information from both sides. Something happened. We know that something happened in a game, but I like what Dr. Spicer said. We just can't overreact in a situation. In the heat of the moment, things happen to all of us, and we've got to respond appropriately. I was pretty harsh with the coaches because I believe they were pointing the fingers at the officials and the police and everyone else. They had not taken the same response as the Laredo coaches had that Mr. Zepeda clearly outlined for, and he started this campaign back in the summer. He said, we're going to have an emphasis on sportsmanship this year. And this is what we get. So Daryl said it, we have well over a million contests each year. So there's something that's bound to happen. And I want everybody to know that's listening right now is that it's important that we support the efforts of our coaches and our officials, our fans who are all wanting to do the right thing. Let's support sportsmanship and comportment and response to bad language for us who drive and get cut off. And the way we respond to that, we need to be better citizens, better human beings. By the way, isn't that what we're doing? We're training these young people up to be our next great citizens. And I want them to respond just the way you do, just the way you responded today and reacting to what happened. This will serve as a deterrent to someone else who says, hey, I saw that video and I know what happened to those kids. We're not doing that. So yep. Thank you for standing up for what is right. It's not always popular, and it's difficult to do, to raise your hand and say, oh, we got a student suspended for an entire year. So thank you for doing that. And I wish each of you the very best for the remainder of the school year, but particularly during this holiday season. Get some rest and enjoy your family and relax a little bit. That's my announcement.
Yeah. Can you
have something to say?
Go ahead. I just want to piggyback on what Dr. Brightup just said. I mean, I think our entire staff has worked exceedingly hard in this area to try to get things turned around. And I don't think, especially when this action occurred and was so public, that without your help and assistance today, it would have been very difficult for us to truly get a handle on some of this. And I think that your action in the way that you took it, and Dr. Spicer's your comments today, I think helped send a measured approach, but also a message that you know, we're not going to allow kids to come up the off the bench with bad intentions. So thank you very much for helping the hard work that we've put in and trying to get in place to get some of this turned around.
Thank you, Mr. Wade.
Real quick, I'll try to be one. You know, I did mention about the suspension of coaches. I understand that you cannot, but what? Again, I feel a great deal that they did not do what they're supposed to do. So, and I know that we, you know, I was corrected where we cannot, but at what point or how, what would be the rationale when we do do that?
That's a great question. And part of that's my fault. I should have asked for that to be part of the agenda. Okay. That's all. If it had been on the agenda, we could have dealt with it.
Sure, understood. And, you know, I have playing college sports. I have several friends that coach across the country. A lot of them are not teachers. They are working in different occupations and going to their schools coaching. And when I have these discussions with them about in Texas, you wouldn't be able to do that where they can't understand. I think this is a good example of it, because if we didn't have coaches in the building, you know, who knows what could happen. I'm sure that does across the country. And lastly, I know Carolyn knows, but I think the last hearing I was on, my mother had just passed away. So I want to let you all know that. And I apologize for missing it, but it was a little difficult time in my life. But I'm getting back on track, and I appreciate y'all.
Yeah. So sorry for your loss, and we appreciate you.
Condolences.
Do you have anything for the good of the group? Hey, thank y'all. Difficult stuff, and well done. With that said, we are adjourned. Y'all have a blessed rest of the week. We'll see some of you on Friday, I think.
I'll be there.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, everybody.